The Lord has blessed us with a very sweet message today. It's July the 4th, 2015. And as I was in worship today, and this evening, I saw the Lord in the crown of thorns, and he was weeping, and the only thing he really wanted was comfort. He just wanted to be comforted, and that's what went on for quite some time. And then I felt that it was time to listen. And he began speaking to me immediately. "Tuck into me, Claire. Your love brings such consolation. Little as you are, deficient as you are, frail as you are, weak in temptation as you are, nonetheless, your love consoles me. Truly it does. Please don't doubt me. Please embrace me in my time of misery. You so distract me from what is ahead. My world turns around as you draw near. You turn my morning into dancing with just one little smile and mark of love." And it's interesting that he said that, because as I was embracing him at the beginning of our worship time and singing to him, and he was weeping, he started to calm down, and all of a sudden I realized he was no longer wearing the crown of thorns, but he was wearing the bridegroom's attire, and he seemed to be much more at peace. He continued, "Please don't underestimate the attentions of a little soul. Yes, even as the angels ministered to me in the garden, you, my tender little souls, minister here to me now, amidst the frightening prospects that approach, amidst the blood and gore I must deal with every day. Believe it or not, the advances and pure affection of my bride turn my heart inside out from bitterness to quiet joy. She is there for me. I come home from the battlefield, and lo, she is at the door, serving me the warm portions of her love, caressing my brow, removing my sandals, and kissing my feet. Yes, she awaits my arrival with such tenderness. She tends to the wounds of indifference, the mocking, the scourging, the blows and the piercing pain of my crown of scorns, which she removes from my brow and pours oil upon my wounds. Yes, my bride, this is what you have been called to do." Just as an aside here, I just wanted to mention that sometimes I get under condemnation because, in fact, quite a bit, because I'm worshiping him and I'm comforting him, but I'm not getting into really gut-wrenching intercession. And it bothers me. And I think to myself, am I using this time properly? Am I doing what he's called me to do? Or am I getting so caught up in the joys of comforting him and being with him that I'm actually being lazy and not interceding vigorously? So when he brought this up, he was really instructing me on something I had thought earlier this evening as we were spending time together. He continued, "Yes, my bride, this is what you have been called to do. You may do it for others in my name, and you may do it for me in the privacy of our heavenly trysting time. I am weary from the battle. To see you waiting for me does my heart more good than you'll ever know. This is a lonely road, a lonely, lonely road on this earth. Yet the tender attention of my bride makes up for it all. She is my consolation in utter degradation." I was at this point blushing because I overdid it today with pie and yesterday with cake. It just seems like the last 2 days I've had a craving and no self-control as far as the things that I normally avoid. So I was feeling a little guilty as he was saying all these very sweet and tender things to me. And he answered that, and he said, "Yes, yes, I know. I know all about the pie and the cake and your lack of self-control. Nevertheless, you have done it for the least of these. You have shared what I've taught you. So much as to your credit, I wipe away your self-indulgence. Stop fretting. Your charity has covered your lapses in self-denial. Let's not stumble over trifles. The more you engage in the battle directly, the more you will lose. Let me gently guide you away from these things so it does not become a struggle." And I think what he was referring to here is that when we meet a problem or a fault head on and struggle directly against it, sometimes we get entrenched in this battle that is so distracting that it just, your life kind of stops while you try to deal with these issues, you know. If you got a craving for something or whatever, and he's saying rather than address it head on, allow me to distract you away from it, so that he's going to draw me away from it so that it's not important anymore. And I've seen him do that time and time again. So returning to the message, each day I look for those who would comfort me. My children, do not allow the enemy of your souls to cause your attention to be turned inward on yourselves. Trust that I love you, I forgive you, and I'm indeed coming for you. I never asked you to be perfect in all these details of life. I did ask you to be perfect in charity and love for your brother, good or bad. Yes, that I did ask. And at that point, I was kind of questioning, Lord, is this you? Because you did say, be perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And he clarified it for me immediately. He said, look at the context, Claire. And then when I read the scriptures, it's under love your enemies. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And that's the context in which he said that. And the Lord continued, be perfect in charity to me and to one another. This is what I'm calling you to. When I see you doing thusly, I smile and I say, yes, this bride is ready for more graces, more gifts. She's done well with what she has. Now it is time to increase her talents, that she may bring forth even more fruit for the kingdom. Do you not know that charity is still, and always will be, the heart of the law? Put away your condemnations for yourselves and for your neighbors, and look to see if charity is missing, or if it's there. Then you will know where you stand before me. Choose the things that endure, not those which will pass away. And when he said that, I was reminded of the scripture about prophecies passing away and all things pass away except love will never pass away. He continued, as long as you allow the devils to put you under condemnation, you will look at others through the same lenses through which you see yourselves. This is the reason for the main assault against your characters. Don't you know that as they succeed in turning you towards yourself and fault-finding, you will withdraw more and more from me and from one another? When you're focused on your faults, you more readily see the faults of your brother. When you're focused on my love, you more readily see the goodness in others and in yourself. I reflect back to you the goodness I see coming forth as you travel this road with me. As you allow me to carry you, I will even show you the perfection I have planned for you, which in truth has been completed in heaven and has yet to be manifested here on earth in its time. So keep your eyes on me. Have nothing but scorn and contempt for the ugliness of the world and your own failings. Declare that you are under my blood, and I've already perfected you. Short-circuit their strategies to keep you in a downward spiral of discouragement. Yes, rise above. Rise through resting in me as I bring forth all the beauty of your souls I've envisioned from the very foundations of the world. Rise and come forth, my beautiful ones, for it is I, your God, who calls you forth from the mire of the past into my glorious transforming light. Rise and come forth, I say to you.